to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, second hour now upon us. I'm your host, James Edwards, as I broadcast to you live this Saturday evening, July the 10th, from our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. We are broadcasting as well to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Catch us live there any way you want. And if you miss the live show, our broadcast archives available to you on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, spanning all the way back to 2005, right there, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Special thanks again to my co-host Keith Alexander for his talents during that first hour. Covered a lot of ground, including the latest denunciation of our work, this time from the Inglorious Bastard himself, Eli Roth. If you want more information about that, you can go to our website and read all about it, or just go back and listen to that first hour. We covered it in detail. Now joining me is my special guest, good friend of mine, Don Wassel. And Don Wassel's everything. Talk about people who do it all. He runs the American Nationalist Union. He is the publisher of the Nationalist Times, a newspaper that every listener of this radio program ought to be subscribing to. And he is also the proprietor of an incredibly interesting website, castfootball.us. And it is that third hat that he wears that has brought him to our show this evening. He's the only guy out there that's covering anti-white bias and anti-white racism as it applies to sports. Sports captivates so many of us, for better or for worse. Sometimes people get a little overzealous in their lust for sports, living vicariously through people who are not worthy of your dollar. But nevertheless, be that as it may, sports can be a very powerful thing. And seeing as so many of our people follow sports, it seems as though there would be more than one person out there talking about our issues as they relate to sports, but there's not. Don Wassel's the only one, and he's a great one. Don Wassel, welcome back to the radio program. How you doing?
I'm doing great, James. How are you doing? It's great to be back on your show.
Yeah, it's always a good show when you're on it, and we last had you on during that very memorable program at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference. You were there, of course, as one of the leaders in attendance, and you were on that program. Unfortunately, you were on with us during that first hour when we had some technical difficulties, and I think you were on for about 5 or 6 minutes. But now we're having you on for more in-depth interview. We're going to get the job done right. And, Don, we have so much to talk with you about this evening. So much is going on in sports, I don't even know where to begin. We've got some boxing news we need to cover. We certainly got to talk about the World Cup. We're going to get into football a little bit later and revisit the LeBron James affair. Where should we start? I'll let you pick.
Well, I'll tell you what, James. Let's start with sprinting and track, because yesterday was a historic day. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, because it certainly did not get much coverage at all in the U.S. media. Big surprise here, but a young Frenchman by the name of Christophe Lemaitre, I think that's how it's pronounced, Lemaitre. It's L-E-M-A-I-T-R-E. He just turned 20 last month. Yesterday, in Europe, in a European meet, he became the first white man ever to run the 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. Now, that was a huge breakthrough. That's a mark that has stood, I believe, since about 1980 when a Polish man named Marian Warren had run a 10 flat. And since then, no white man had been able to break 10 seconds in the 100-meter dash. Now, think about it. In other speed events like skating and swimming that are totally dominated by whites, the records keep dropping. They get broken all the time. You see swimmers and skaters, et cetera, getting faster and faster. In sprinting, blacks have continued to lower the records. But for some reason, well, of course, there is a very good reason for it, but the white man stopped competing in sprints about 40 years ago. Now, that's about when the cultural Marxist permanent revolution started in this country, and all of a sudden white men supposedly could not play football and basketball, and they couldn't sprint anymore, and anything that involved speed, quote-unquote. Well, white men just had gone backwards. Not only were we not breaking records in sprinting anymore, but we're going backwards. For a while, there looked like nobody could break that mythical 10 flat in the 100. And that was something that was constantly held against whites. Black supremacists would constantly bulwark their arguments, saying, well, look, a white man can't break 10 seconds. And yet you see blacks running 9.8, 9.7, actually down to about 9.6 now. So this was a huge breakthrough. And this kid, like I said, he just turned 20, which is very young for a sprinter. So he's got a, you know, his best days by far should be ahead of him. He's already about the fifth or sixth fastest man in the world this year in 2010. So the future looks extremely bright. And it's a big, big breakthrough psychologically and in other ways. So everyone at Cats Football is just thrilled about it. We've been posting about it nonstop for the last day and a half. And unlike other things, James, you know, in the political sphere, when you're pro-white and you mourn for what's going on in the country, it seems like it's always bleak and negative things going on. But when you root for white athletes, in spite of the caste system and cultural Marxism and all the ridicule in the media, there's a lot of them out there that are doing great things. So, you know, we're all very happy. And that was a real breakthrough yesterday.
And if you want to join the discussion, by the way, at that great website that Don just mentioned, I encourage you to check it out. If you're listening on the internet tonight, if you're driving around listening on the radio, jot it down when you're at a red light and visit it later. But the address is castfootball.us, and that's spelled CASTEFOOTBALL, castfootball.us. Check it out if you're interested and how our politics can apply to sports. That is the end-all, be-all destination for you. And, Don, you and I had exchanged half a dozen emails in advance of tonight's program, batting around topics that we could discuss during this hour. Don is, by the way, going to be our guest this entire hour as we talk about sports-related issues. And this, what you just mentioned to me, is news to me. I am embarrassed to say that I had not even heard about this yet because it wasn't something that you and I brought up in our exchanges. But more good news to add to the discussion this evening, and I appreciate you bringing that to the table.
Well, James, I mean, come on, you know, LeBron James, I mean, that's the only thing that counts. I mean, something like this, it should be, if anything, on the back page of the sports section, maybe a little asterisk or a footnote at the bottom. I mean,
I didn't make the sports section in Memphis, I promise you.
LeBron James, we all know that.
We're going to get more on LeBron in just a minute. But let me say this, you know, without question, the biggest sporting event in the world this week, and in fact, this summer, is the World Cup. And I don't follow soccer or football, as they call it in Europe. Our football is played a little differently over here. But soccer, World Cup, whatever. I've never watched much of it, Don. But I'll tell you what I do know. It's being held in South Africa this year, home of the great black terrorist Nelson Mandela. And ironically enough, and I'm sure to his despair, the World Cup championship match is being played between the Netherlands and Spain. Coming in third place in the World Cup today was Germany. Don, what do all three of those teams have in common?
Well, I think, I'm sure Nelson Mandela is not real happy, but I think the ones weeping the most are probably the so-called white people at ESPN and the rest of the corporate media. I mean, ESPN, it's just so over the top in promoting anything. It's so Afrocentric. I mean, if you've watched SportsCenter or anything on ESPN the last couple of weeks, it alternates between LeBron James segments and pro-black segments covering the World Cup. It's just, and the fact that it was held in South Africa, I mean, it was all, as usual, they were celebrating ahead of time, glorifying the blacks that were playing, the black African teams and the blacks on some of the European teams and the U.S. teams and anticipating with glee how well all these teams are going to do. Well, somehow it turned out that the African teams had a collective mark of 3 wins and 15 losses. The only one that had any semi-success at all was Ghana, which knocked out the U.S. once again, which is, and of course the U.S. has its share of affirmative action athletes on it as well, so that was sort of a draw there. But the African teams did horribly. The teams that had a lot of blacks on, somehow these blacks are always glorified as wonderful athletes, whereas whites are never called athletic. They're often called unathletic, and yet the white team somehow knocked out all the non-white teams. So, yeah, you're right. The Final Four was basically an all-white affair. The Netherlands does have a couple non-whites on the team, but back in the 90s, they had a lot more than they do now.
And oh, well, I mean, like, still, it goes without saying, the vast majority of the players on these teams, the vast majority, are white. The Netherlands and Spain, absolutely. Third place Germany, and this was a tournament, Don, which if you went by the so-called experts' predictions, was going to be dominated by the black teams. Nigeria was supposed to be a team that was going to do well. They did so poorly that their president or king or chief or whatever they got over there has banned them from competition for the next 2 years. So, and now that it is an all-white affair in the finals and the championship match, you're right. ESPN has completely buried coverage of the World Cup. We're going to talk about that, compared and contrasted with the LeBron James saga this week, when we return with Don Wassel. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, friends, James Edwards back with you. Don Wassel, our special guest for the entire third hour. Don Wassel, again, the publisher of the Nationalist Times. Don, why don't you go ahead and give out that website?
ANU.org, that's pretty easy, ANU.org. There's also ANUnews.net, which is updated daily. I like to call it a daily online newspaper. There's also NorthernVoiceBookstore.com for people that like to read. There's still a few out there, I believe, that still read books. And, of course, CASTE, football.us is the one we're talking about here tonight.
I told you, Don does everything. So go to ANU.org. That will link you over to the American Nationalist Union, which is, of course, interrelated with the Nationalist Times newspaper, a newspaper that everybody listening to this show should strongly consider subscribing to. Don, also the proprietor of castfootball.us, which deals with politically related issues as they pertain to sports, most specifically anti-white bias and anti-white racism in sports. We were talking before that last break about the World Cup, how the two finalist teams are overwhelmingly white, the Netherlands versus Spain, coming in third place today, Germany with a big win, and all of these teams were absolutely unheralded by the press before competitions began. Certainly it was supposed to be a black-dominated affair there in South Africa, and that is, not to our surprise, not been the case. But, Don, one more thing about the World Cup before we move back over to LeBron James, and Keith and I spoke about this issue a little bit in the first hour. We're going to get back to LeBron James in just a second, but I have never watched a minute of soccer until this year. And I was flipping through channels and nothing was on. And I was like, well, there's World Cup. I'll tune in for a minute and see what's up with that. Because, you know, up until that point, there were still a lot of black teams alive in the tournament, so it was still getting a lot of press. So I wanted to see what all the fuss was about. And, Don, I don't know if you were aware of this or not. Did you watch any of it?
I watched a little bit. I mean, I'm like you. I'm not really a soccer fan. So to me, it's like watching paint dry, but it's, of course, that's up to an individual.
People
think golf's boring, but I like to watch golf. So, but no, I'm not a big soccer fan, but I have watched coverage this closely, and of course we have a lot of good posters on Cats Football. Our World Cup thread in our soccer forum has something close to 900 posts on it now. I mean, we have a lot of I heard you say in the introduction, I'm the only one covering this, but really there's a huge team of very capable, intelligent people that post on our forum at Cats Football. So if you don't follow the sport, you can certainly learn everything you need to know from a pro-white perspective at Cats Football.
Well, I'm sure one of those people saw what I'm about to bring to your attention. The reason I asked this question was this. I saw something that was just absolutely stunning. And Don, you know me. I've been around for a little while. Not as long as you, but I've been around long enough to see a thing or two.
You call me an old man?
No. Just a little bit older. Although I'm 30 now. So, but anyway, I'm not as young as I used to be.
You're still a whippersnapper to me.
Yeah. Well, here's the rub, what I'm getting at. I was watching the introductions of two teams one night before they squared off. The World Cup, or the governing body that manages the World Cup made, apparently this was a mandatory thing, the team captains from every team in competition in the World Cup, before the national anthems are sung, they have to go up and read a prepared statement about how their soccer team stands firmly against racism and embraces diversity. Don, I couldn't believe it. I mean, that is so in-your-face Orwellian that it's almost, if I was a multiculturalist knucklehead, it would be embarrassing for me to see something like that go out that way. Forcing the team captains to come up, and you could tell it didn't come from the heart because they were holding pieces of paper in their hands. I mean, literally reading off a piece of scrap paper on international
television.
Yeah, I saw
that on your website, actually. That's the first I was aware of it. But, of course, you know, diversity to the powers that be just means a preponderance of blacks. I mean, if all the players were black in the World Cup, that would be fine to them. That would be diversity. It's, you know, you're right. It's totally Orwellian.
Well, what did you think about that, though?
I mean, anti-white perspective.
Was that something that to you was a little bit over the top, even for the politically correct? I mean, that's pretty bad.
You know, one of the last bastions, if you want to call it that, of white identity in the last decade has been over in Europe, where a lot of European soccer fans have been boisterous in their nationalism and supporting their team. And part of that, whether you know, it's a bit crude, and you know, whether one likes it or not, but it's involved sort of anti-black chants and things like that at times. And of course, that's the number one no-no crime against humanity in the world that the globalists are trying to shape today. So I think that's part of it as well. They've been working very hard to stamp out any kind of pro-white identity among soccer fans in Europe. Of course, you know, this country, the fans here, the white fans, are totally deracinated. If anything, they're rabidly pro-black. So that's not really a problem here. So I think maybe that was aimed at European and maybe even some South American teams.
I don't know what it was, but to make all of them do that, what was something? I mean, my jaw dropped. I was like, "You have got to be kidding me, man!" But I'll tell you what they want. They want diversity. What they mean by diversity, as I lay out in my book, what they want with diversity, they want something like South Africa. They want something like the NBA. You know, Don, this was another thing you and I were going to talk about tonight. We mentioned it last week as well. The NBA was recently audited by some sort of an entity that was looking into diversity as it exists in the four major professional sports leagues in America, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the National Hockey League. And they said that the NBA was leading the way. They get an A-plus in diversity. Well, Don, as you know, the NBA is 80%, literally 80% black. 80% black. How is that really and truly diverse? Unless diversity means absolutely, positively, unequivocally non-white.
Well, that's right. I mean, in that other 20% in the NBA, less than half of that is white American players. That's European players and some non-white players from here and there, China and some black Europeans, etc. So white Americans have basically been shut out of the NBA completely. And of course, they're taking this extreme affirmative action that pervades football and basketball and sprinting, and they're using their warped Orwellian logic to try and use the same agenda. Because X percent of the players on the field are black, therefore the same percentage of announcers and coaches and scouts, et cetera, should also be black. Now, of course, you know, being a coach or an announcer is a totally different skill set than being a player. But this is what we're seeing happening. The affirmative action of the caste system is being spread from the playing field where it's already totally artificial. I heard Keith before I came out saying about the quality, the character of the players now versus 30, 40 years ago. He's absolutely right. Because the playing field is just so tilted where it's a racial spoil system for blacks. Whites are not allowed to compete for the most part, whereas blacks don't have to compete. They're entitled to many positions in football. They're all cornerbacks. They're almost all safeties. They're almost all defensive players. They're almost all offensive players anymore except for quarterbacks. So these guys do not have to try hard. They just get by. A lot of them are lazy in spite of the money they're making. So yeah, we're seeing the effects of so-called diversity all through society, in sports and in other ways, and it's a disease, this caste system, this extreme affirmative action in sports and the accompanying degradation of white athletes in the media, it's It's a reflection of what's been going on throughout society for the past 40 plus years, and we see it in sports all the time. Fundamentals are not what they used to be. Just a whole hip-hop thuggish atmosphere pervades sports. It's all, you know, it's all part of the fun and games and the bread and circuses, the pop culture, glorifying black athletes in general, and picking out people like Tiger Woods and LeBron James. It's all part of an agenda, part of a matrix, and the more absurd and decadent and hollow it gets, the more...
Gotta take a break, buddy. We'll be right back. We'll follow up on that.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. All right, we have been talking about it in passing for a few minutes, so let's talk about it in depth now. Still forthcoming before the time of Don Wassel runs out, we're going to touch on boxing and football, the real American football, not soccer. We just talked about that. But first, LeBron James. Keith and I said at the top of the, at the end of the first hour, the guy goes on. He has this self-indulgent, boorish, one-hour primetime ESPN special that the international press, Don, literally spent thousands and thousands of man hours reporting on. And at the end of the day, the only question was, who was LeBron James going to play for? Now, he's never won a championship. He is the most overhyped basketball player ever, in my opinion, until he wins a few. He's not won one yet. He's the Lord of No Rings. And, you know, to me, well, you're the guest. What do you think about it?
Well, I think self-indulgent prima donnas like LeBron James are totally enabled by ESPN and the rest of the corporate media. This guy is only what he is because this is an example of the cultural Marxist not reflecting what fans are interested in, but forcing an agenda on the public. I mean, the NBA is, if it weren't for the media, the NBA probably wouldn't even exist anymore. There's not much interest in it these days. I mean, you've got a hardcore supporter base, but it's not nearly what it used to be. The NHL, if you compare attendance and passionate followings and interest is more popular, or at least as popular as the NBA, yet it gets only maybe 1/20th the amount of media coverage. So if they had equal coverage, I mean, NHL players right now are also in free agency, and yet have you ever heard anything about a prominent NHL player switching teams or this build up to what team a superstar in the NHL might go to? Of course not. It's all this artificial, absurdly overdone hyping of LeBron James, and I think part of it is, part of it is they have to constantly hype black athletes. They're more and more grasping at straws. The future president of the world, Tiger Woods, well, he's stumbled, as we all know. So he's sort of in a transition period where they can't hype him as much as they used to. So, yeah, LeBron is a handy figure for the media to just go nuts over and force feed down the public and pretend there's all this interest, a lot more than what there really is. I mean, you know, you and I and a lot of other people are gagging on it. I mean, how many Americans, even dumbed down white fans, are there really that many that were breathlessly awaiting this decision? I really don't think so. This is an example of the cultural Marxists forcing an agenda.
It's kind of like the Truman Show. I mean, you know, in a way it was. Right. And this is, to LeBron's credit, though, I will give him this. He's one of the few black athletes that hadn't gone bankrupt yet or committed some sort of a heinous crime. So because of that.
Give him time. Give him time, Jim.
He's still only 25, but still.
Yeah, he was given before he played at 1 minute in the NBA. He had already was given over $80 million in endorsement money by the corporations. Again, this is how these black athletes are lionized and turned into heroes, mythical figures, before they've even done anything. And he's a great example of it.
Well, as I mentioned, the NBA is bankrupt. I mean, literally, they had to go to J.P. Morgan and Bank of America to bail out their teams to the tune of a half a billion dollars because the teams aren't making any money. And I'm sure.
Well, you watch the highlights. You watch highlights. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you know, you watch highlights of games, and you look at the stands, and a lot of times they're half empty or more. And yet you look at the box scores, and they're still announcing full crowds, 100% attendance, or close to it. And obviously, it's made up. And a lot of the people that do go, it's the corporations buying up season tickets and giving them to clients, or the teams are selling them at reduced rates. You know, the NBA is in serious trouble. If it weren't for the media propping it up, it would be like the WNBA, the women's league, which nobody cares about. Yet
I can give you
plots on.
Eyewitness testimony to that, Don. There are a few markets in the NBA that do sell out. Portland, San Antonio, they've always got a packed house. But here in Memphis, places like Memphis, Atlanta, I've gone to, I don't know, maybe a half dozen Grizzly games. They've been here since, about 10 years. I've gone to about 6 games over the years. And in recent years, there are literally 6,000 people in a 20,000-seat stadium. There's not a lot of interest there, certainly not here. And still, though, the powers that be in the media are hyping this up as if this is who LeBron James plays for next year, the biggest story in the world. And in the meantime, there are a lot of people who do get enamored in this culture of bread and circus, as you know. Western civilization is falling apart. And what's dominating the headlines is not things that we find to be important, things that are truly important. It's stuff like LeBron James, and it's silly. But we've got a lot more to talk about, Don. Want to talk to you about boxing. Boxing is something that you've covered quite a bit, and it's another sport that used to have a lot of interest here in this country when Mike Tyson was a big name, when Lennox Lewis was a big name internationally, when Evander Holyfield was a big name. This was back in the 90s and even before then. In recent years, Don, I don't know why, I can't quite put my finger on it, boxing in America isn't a big deal anymore. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I wonder. I know on your site you linked the story about HBO's Jewish president announcing that network is not interested in airing heavyweight fights anymore for some reason. Why is that? And of course, he gives the reason, well, there's just no interest. The Klitschko brothers, who totally dominate heavyweight boxing and have for several years, well, they're just not well known in this country. Well, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, it's pretty obvious. Again, this is the media, the corporate media, the cultural Marxist Jewish agenda being forced on the sporting public. The Klitschko brothers and other, there's quite a few other, in fact, whites dominate from middleweight up. Whites absolutely dominate boxing and have, again, have for several years. Well, why aren't the Klitschko brothers? They should be far better known and admired than Mike Tyson ever was. I mean, they're ideal role models in every way. Mike Tyson is the anti-role model. And yet, who's the one that's known by everybody and who isn't known? Tyson's a figure from the past. The Klitschko brothers are here and now. They're dominating like nobody has for a long time. Many of us at Cast Football think that right now they could beat just about anybody from the past. Maybe they may go down as the greatest boxers ever. And yet, you know, they have PhDs. They speak multiple languages. I mean, they're just great role models in every way. And yet they're pretty much kept hidden from the American public. I mean, how much more blatant can the pro-black, anti-white ideological bias be?
Well, the answer is not much, if any. You referred to that article I sent you. That was actually sent to me by my friend here in Memphis. He's a big Klitschko fan, and he picked that up about HBO and was just appalled. And I told him that I was a big fan of yours too, by the way, Don. And I told him that I was going to be having you on this week, incidentally enough. And he said, "Well, you got to ask Don his opinion about this article about this HBO saying they're not going to be. There's no interest in America, they say, in boxing anymore." So said the HBO, Jewish president. No more, no interest. Can't do it. Not
That's
show
what they say
heavy...
when blacks don't dominate a sport, or they're totally vacant from sport. Well, they're just not interested. Which is such a pandering, racist argument to begin with. I mean, not one single black is interested in hockey or golf or tennis or any of the other. There's very few sports where there's any black, noticeable black presence whatsoever.
Well, it was an interesting article, and they are becoming more blatant in just really showing their hands and showing how much anti-white bias and vitriol they have. And yet still, it is called by some, not by people in the know, but by some, that the issues that we discuss are somehow taboo. Well, it's so blatantly obvious, it's a shame that something so simple to see could even be considered to be controversial. I certainly don't think that the program that we produce is controversial in the classic term of the word. But nevertheless, I mean, here you got this HBO president saying there's no interest in boxing in America, and that these heavyweight champions in Europe are just, you know, they're not interesting, and so we're just going to black it out. You're not going to be able to watch it on HBO, and HBO is, of course, the premier carrier of boxing, as ESPN and TNT are of basketball, and Fox is of football, things of that nature. So speaking of football, we're going to get into that in just a second. Closing segment with Don forthcoming in another minute or two. Going to get his thoughts on the forthcoming NFL season. Some interesting things in play there, I'm sure. But Don, any final word on boxing before we leave that topic and move forward?
Well, I would just encourage your listeners out there who are interested in sports and boxing in particular to get educated. They can certainly do it through our boxing forum, which is very active on Cast Football. Basically, to put it in a nutshell, what we've seen the last 10 years is the rise of the Eastern European and Russian boxer. Unfortunately, we don't see white American boxers, as we don't see white American sprinters, with very few exceptions. We don't see white basketball players. We don't see white football players at a lot of positions. I mean, you know, what we're seeing in this country is for the last 40-plus years is just the total degradation and institutionalized discrimination and tearing down of the white athlete. And for that to change, the fans, the players, the athletes, the aspiring athletes, their family and friends have got to see what's going on. They've got to wake up and demand an end to it.
All right, football fans, we're going to be covering your sport when Don Wassel returns with us on the Political Cesspool right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
If I didn't tell him, I didn't. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, continuing on with Don Wassel. You know, one of the things we had planned to do tonight was take a few calls for Don. And we only have about 10 minutes left with him, but we might take a couple of rapid-fire calls if you want to ask a quick question of Don pertaining to anti-white racism in sports. We'd love to hear from you. The number here is 1-866-986-NEWS, 1-866-986-NEWS. We'll take one or two calls just as quick as you can bring them in. And, of course, we're going to give Don a couple of minutes to let us know how the forthcoming NFL season is shaping up. Training camp just a couple of months away. But first, let's go to Bryce in Nevada with a quick question for Don. Bryce, you're on the air.
Yes, I don't really have necessarily a question. I wanted to bring up some brief points. There was a Gerald Celente from the Trends Research Center did suggest that one of his trends and predictions is that a major franchise will go broke. I don't know what sport that would be in. Also, I wanted to say that the basketball is very primitive now since Larry and Bird played. It's more playground or sandlot basketball. It's no longer a real sport, a real team sport. Also, the tabloids like Yahoo.com covers inane sports coverage, and that's what you guys are mentioning. And finally, one final point. You guys mentioned and talked all about boxing, and it was a fascinating conversation. But I wanted to let you know that boxing's thunder has been stolen by mixed martial arts, which is dominated by white fighters and white athletes. So much so that Bob Arum, a Jewish gentleman who is a promoter, along with Don King, of boxing, dissed MMA, calling it full of skinheads and Nazis humping each other on the ground in basically bitter disgust that, you know, that they have destroyed the sport.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Bryce. Don, I don't follow UFC and MMA a lot. I watched some of the first UFCs, which was about 150 ago. But he brought up a lot of good points. Anything there you'd like to comment on?
Well, I think I agree with everything he said. I don't follow MMA and UFC much myself. I should, but again, anyone interested though, but we have some great posters on that in Cast Football. But he's right. And, yeah, he said Bryce was from Nevada. Just real briefly, we do not have. I'm in Las Vegas. We do not have an NBA team here, but the sports page, the front page of the sports section yesterday, three stories about LeBron James, including two huge pictures. One of them had two fans, two white men, quote-unquote men, sitting in a bar in Cleveland, side by side. One was crying, and the other had his hands over his head. Then right next to that was a picture of two fans sitting in a bar in Miami. One was black, one was white. Of course, there's the, you know, ebony and ivory harmony theme, and of course, they were in just orgasmic joy, but just shows the superficiality of sports coverage. And as far as what Bryce said, yeah, I agree with all his points.
All right, well, let's get to football then. What's forthcoming, Don? What trends are you seeing as the NFL gets ready for another campaign?
The NFL has maintained about a 68% to 70% black demographic for the past 30 years or so. It's gone up very slowly. The two main trends we're seeing, one is that they're trying to turn the offensive line as black as possible. The offensive line used to be about 80 to 90% white for a long time. Then about 10 years ago, it started to change, and the team started drafting these obese, slow-footed slugs in the first and second rounds. Mainly, you know, they weighed 350 pounds, and of course, white men just do not get that big, especially if they're athletic. Well, most of these guys aren't even athletic. They're just fat. And they've tried to turn the offensive line into a black-dominated thing, just like the defensive line is. So that's one interesting dynamic at play. A lot of these offensive linemen are busts. We call them sumos, and a lot of them are just projects, like a lot of drafted players are. A lot of them aren't even athletes. They're just, again, it's a racial spoil system. But that's one thing that's going on. I mean, besides quarterback and kicker, the offensive line was one of the last positions that was majority white, and now they're trying to turn that into about 80 to 90% black position. And we're seeing a slight resurgence of white players at linebacker and at wide receiver. There was literally six or seven white wide receivers in college last year. In spite of the caste system, in spite of all the hurdles they had to overcome, not getting scholarships, starting at the bottom of the depth chart and slowly working their way up to the starter position, there were six or seven just outstanding talents that should have been drafted in the first or second round. Well, some of them weren't even drafted. Some were drafted in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. But there are a lot of them, more than we've seen come into the league in quite a while. And so we're going to be following them closely. And we keep close tabs on every team, on all the position battles, on all the white players, and what's going on. So it's, like I said, it's not just me. There's a whole large group of us that follow football and all the sports that cast football.
Well, again, we encourage all of our listeners to join that very discussion at castfootball.us. While you're there, link over to the American Nationalist Union, ANU.org. Subscribe to the Nationalist Times. And listen, it's a very enjoyable website. I love going there and reading some of the opinions and analysis that you'll find at Cast Football. They cover it all, every sport you could imagine, including some activities that aren't.
We have huge threads, James. I mean, I mentioned earlier our World Cup soccer thread has got about 900 posts on it. Our one on Christophe Lemaitre, the Frenchman who just broke the 10-second barrier in the 100 meters yesterday, has about 900 different posts on there. It's a huge forum that covers all the major sports and even the minor sports, and just a lot of really well-informed, intelligent people post there. So if anyone out there has any interest in sports from a pro-white perspective, and in politics too, for that matter, we cover that. But if you have any interest at all, I would urge you to become part of our discussion board.
So, if all those people who watched the LeBron James episode on ESPN on Thursday night would come to Cast Football, they would really get a jolt of shock therapy, I think, and that's what they need to be. I want to ask you one more thing, Don, before we move on and we actually run out of time. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, coming up in the next hour, Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be co-hosting with me as we interview a certain sheriff from Arizona. I think you're really going to enjoy that conversation, and that's just a few minutes away. One of the things that happened a little bit earlier this summer pertaining to football, it's just a given that you have a lot of thuggish athletes now, particularly black athletes in the NFL and the NBA, who kind of go out and commit crimes as a hobby. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, the white quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, found himself in a little hot water earlier this year. And I don't really have an opinion on this, Don. If you can just answer this in 20 or 30 seconds. Keith Alexander wants to say something to you before you leave, and I know we're about out of time. Did the media treat the Ben Roethlisberger affair as as much
persecuted. He's being persecuted because he's white. The media is there's so many thugs and black athletes arrested constantly for crimes or being accused of crimes. Anytime they can find a white player, white athletes have got to be total Boy Scouts. If they can be accused of even having a character flaw, the media is going to jump all over it and equate them with the worst of the black thugs. Ben was not even accused of a crime, much less committed one. And if you do look at the, I totally believe him or think he's in the right. The girl was drunk. She had a t-shirt on, you know, down to F. I mean, she was she was not some vestigial virgin that wandered into the place. She knew exactly what she was doing, and I think Ben has been entrapped and persecuted.
All right, you answered the question without me even asking it. Denny, do we have time for Keith? Keith, quickly.
Yeah.
You're on the air with Don Watson.
You guys there?
Yeah. We got a matter of seconds, Keith.
This is Keith. Let me just say this. I, like you two guys, used to be a big supporter of traditional American sports, particularly basketball and football. But I have now come to appreciate soccer more, particularly with this World Cup, because I think it's a better test of athleticism. I think that basketball and football in America have turned into sports that reward biological abnormality over true athleticism. You know, growing to be 7 feet tall or 350 pounds isn't an athletic achievement anymore. And quite frankly, I'm tired of watching a game like American football where you've got half of the players out there that couldn't run 5 minutes at a stretch without quitting if you put a gun, loaded gun to their head. Let me get your comments on that.
Don, how does the athleticism in football now compare to that of the 1950s and 60s?
Well, I like to point to the 70s, the mid-60s and the 70s, because the league was thoroughly integrated then, and yet you still had white players at every position. You had stars at running back, at cornerback, wide receiver, and players then had to earn it. The black players were in there. They had a lot more athleticism. They had better character. They were not these showboats and thugs. And this is a result of the cultural standards being lowered in so many ways when it comes to race. And sports is just another reflection of it. But yeah, I agree. I think the teams from the 50s, 60s, and 70s would just clean up against the NFL teams of today. I have no doubt about it.
Well, Keith, thanks for your
smaller, but they're not. They're more athletic. They're not these. You know, it's the ability. You shouldn't be an athlete because you can eat 5 or 6 pizzas a day. I mean, that's the standard.
All right, Keith. Thanks for your call and your extended comment tonight, Don Wassel, my friend. The hour went by far too fast. Thanks for making yourself available. Ladies and gentlemen, check him out at castfootball.us.
Thanks a lot, James.
You take care, my friend. Look forward to the next time. Yeah. And that is, again, castfootball.us. Don Wassel, CASTEFOOTBALL, castfootball.us. And you can link over to it, by the way, from our website tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Eddie Miller, and we hope we're joined by the sheriff that was supposed to have joined us last week. Great guy, true American patriot. We're going to hear from him in just a minute.
Of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the right.